The busy weeks have passed. As I write for the first time in this book, I can almost feel my father beside me. Our training is hard. Lying in the saddle makes my shoulders and neck hurt. Cirrus, my Skybax, has a fierce independence, and she will not be controlled. After seeing her to roost, I often spend the evenings with Sylvia and Bix, sometimes at Bix's home.
Sylvia won't be controlled either.
I'm not trying to control Sylvia, only Cirrus.
Oh, are you certain of that?
No one can control Sylvia. Look how she talked to my father when he went off. I wonder where he is now.
Oh, the caves your father has entered are part of a huge network. No one goes down there, but it once sheltered all island life.
That must have been long ago.
Oh, yes, yes. Somewhere in the canyon walls, the story is carved. Long, long ago, before humans started coming, the sky went black with dust and it got very cold. The dinosaurs collected seeds, spores, insects, everything, and took themselves and the whole lot underground.
Something like Noah's Ark.
Oh, yes, yes, in a sense. Later, when the air became clear again, everything came back to the surface. In fact, the same ramp your father went down was the one the dinosaurs used to come out.
But now they go down there to die.
Oh, it's a holy place. The dinosaurs go there in their last days to review the sacred scriptures and to give their flesh for the renewal of life. They return there to die because it feels like returning home.
It's been a month since my father left. I feel I understand Cirrus better. She now lets me treat her wings with burdock medicine. Yesterday, we practiced launching and landing in a strong headwind. Besides flying, there's a whole lot of study about clouds and winds. At least I'm better at study than Sylvia. Ulu has been working with me to change the habits I learned with horses.
Stop steering.
But how can you go where you want to if you don't control them?
You communicate.
Skybaxes don't understand human language.
Oh, no?
They do?
They understand the sound of your voice, the feeling, the intent. Like any language, it's the feeling that's behind it. That's what you communicate.
I see.
In the outside world, you learn to ride horses. You learn to steer them, to control them. You must change these habits. It will not work with the Skybax.
Sylvia's lucky. She never learned bad habits.
Well, Sylvia has been around dinosaurs all her life. The other students here are also born of Dinotopia. They know the intelligence of the Skybaxes. But for you, it is the most difficult. You are from the outside world, where humans believe they are the kings of the Earth, or for the more enlightened, the keepers of the Earth. They do not understand the equal sharing of the Earth.
Ulu, when will we be considered for full apprenticeship?
Cirrus and Nimbus will tell you when you are ready. But first, you need to win their respect.
I've been trying.
You cannot ask them to carry you aloft until you have a feel for what it takes to climb up through the air with a heavy weight on your back.
I understand, Ulu, but...
You have to show them that you are not tied to the Earth.
But how? I can't fly.
You can climb. You've got feet, and you can carry a backpack.
Yes, but how?
Will, over there, what do you see?
I see mountains.
Up there, at the top of the mountains, you'll find an old building called the Tent Pole of the Sky.
You mean way up at the very top?
Yes. Other riders have made the climb, but you will be the first Dolphinback.
Climb up there by myself?
No, I think Sylvia should climb beside you. You may need her help.
Well, if it's what I have to do.
It's a hard trip, but... think of Cirrus and Nimbus. You'll win full partners from it.
Six, would you like to come along?
Up to the very top of the highest mountain?
It'll be an adventure.
For you, perhaps, but not for me.
Well, we'd like you to come.
Oh, no, no. This is for you two. I am no mountain climber.
It won't be that difficult.
Ah, the voice of inexperience. No, thank you. And besides, I have some family business to attend to.
Sylvia and I left Canyon City, saying goodbye to our human and Saurian friends.
Do not be so concerned about your father. Arthur will return. He will be taken care of.
Cirrus and Nimbus waited for us at the trailhead. It was hard to leave them, especially when Cirrus folded me in her wings. Then, as Sylvie and I left, they both stretched out their wings in a slow flap, like waving goodbye.
Goodbye, Nimbus. See no Mulo. See no Mulo.
Sylvia was crying. I couldn't put my arm around her because of our backpacks, but I held her hand.
As I read these words written by my son, I marvel at how swiftly he's matured. Reading his words have given me a new insight. It's like seeing life through his eyes. As far as the eastern foothills of the Forbidden Mountains, the way was easy. Sometimes we met an occasional traveler. In a few days, the wide dinosaur roads thinned out, replaced by footpaths leading up along the streams. We began to climb through thickly wooded valleys of silver fir, giving way to dwarf rhododendron. Good boy, Will. For some days, we had a bad time, slowed by giant piles of sharp boulders, at other times by foaming torrents of water. I was worried, too, about saber tooths, so I found a stout, sharp pole.
So that will protect us from saber tooths?
Well, at least it'll come in handy for climbing.
From the high, barren places, we were able to look down on the canyon. It looked like a small scratch in a table.
Once, we thought we saw Cirrus and Nimbus far off watching us, but it might have been other Skybaxes.
We reached our first goal, a village shared by humans and large mammals, giant ground sloths, glyptodonts, and camels, which are by nature more restless and rugged than dinosaurs.
A fine, sympathetic mammoth, a cousin of Big Tusk, offered to carry us as far as he could. He had good footing, even on ice, and he found overhangs for us each night, sealing our shelters with the warmth of his great body.
After he had to turn back, we scaled the mountain on foot. With each ridge we climbed, the remote building far above us seemed to float up higher, disappearing from time to time in the mist.
We encouraged each other, Sylvia never complaining, and during the freezing nights, we huddled together.
At last, at the end of a very long day, we reached the summit, resting our backpacks thankfully against the stone foundation of the ancient structure. The clouds thickened, snuffing out the final flickers of sunlight. We were led straight to our host, Levka Gambo, who lost no time in refreshing us with hot buttered tea in clay cups, wrapping us in blankets of woven fur, while lighting a strong aromatic incense. All this combined to lull us into an exhausted, dreamless sleep.